the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God is good. And all the time. Let's try that again. God is good. And all the time. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Thank you very much for coming to the house of God to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There are many people who think they are worshiping God by worshiping Him only in spirit. But the Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. It is impossible to worship God in the right spirit unless you're worshiping God in truth. The Bible says in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you have a Bible, I prefer you use that. If you have a phone, one of these, please make sure that it is turned off. Let me make sure that I am setting the proper example. Mine is off and dead. As you listen to the words of God, think, and in the act of thinking, the Spirit of God will shine the light of truth into your minds. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful to you, dear Father, that you never slumber nor sleep. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And we appreciate that. We thank you, dear God, that during the week you preserved our going out and our coming in. As we bow in your holy presence, Father, if we've offended you in any way, forgive us, we pray. The Bible says in Micah chapter 7, verse 18, you delight in mercy, and the greatest act of mercy is forgiveness. As I stand before your lovely people whom you love so much to deliver this message entitled The Enemy, I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, guide my speaking, guide my thinking, dear God, through the Spirit, literally possess me, that my voice may be your voice, and my words may be your words. I humble myself before you. My desire is to glorify your name. Help me to do that, Father. Bless others worshiping you right now. Be with them, dear God. And bless them as verily as you bless us. Bless the internet audience, dear God. Let them and let us be one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our subject, the enemy, Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Do you have that? You may read with me if you have my version. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God warned Adam, if you eat of this tree, the result will be death. Now we believe that Adam, of course, had to communicate that information to Eve. So they both knew. Now we go to chapter 3. We read from verse 1, our subject, the enemy. Genesis 3, reading from verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The woman told the serpent that she was aware that disobedience to God would result in death. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. We see from this passage that Satan's only intention for us is to destroy us. He knew death was a penalty for sin. He knew that. He knew Adam knew that. He knew Eve knew that. But he came with subtlety and deception and deceit. Eve then used Eve to seduce her husband into sin. The devil's desire for us is our destruction. But he does not come as the devil, and he does not come with a gun or a sword. He comes in the most attractive way, and he presents death in such an attractive way, we do not see death and destruction. Here's what he told Eve in verse 5 of Genesis 3. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He presented disobedience as a blessing, which it was not. I say again, the devil's only desire for you is your destruction, but he presents death in such a way that we do not see death. So what did Eve see? Her eyes would be opened. She would be like God. She'd know everything. That's what she saw. But that was a lie. Adam went along with her, and death came upon the whole world. Let me say it one more time. The devil's desire for you and me is the destruction of our lives. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, the thief, that's the devil, cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He goes on to say, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus contrasts himself with the devil. The devil's desire is your destruction. God's desire is your life. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And as I said, he does it in attractive ways. He does it through money. He does it through drugs. He does it through crime. He does it through sex. He does it through all kinds of ways the world calls glamorous. He does it through alcohol. He does it so many ways. But the end result is the destruction of your soul. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Let's take a look, as we continue with the enemy, at what the devil would love to do to you if God did not put controls on him. Mark chapter 5. What we will read in that chapter is the devil's desire for everyone. But God is merciful, and God puts checks on the devil. He does not stop him completely, but he restricts him in mercy towards us. Mark 5, reading from verse 1. When you found it, say amen. Before I speak any further, let me pray again. Holy Father in heaven, as I enter into the second phase of this message, continue to speak through me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. As Christ stepped out of the boat, and in other parts of the gospel, we have two men, but Mark says one. It's not contradiction. Mark just chose to focus on one of the two. We're dealing with that one. This man had his dwelling among the tombs. He dwelt where dead people slept. And no man could bind him. No, not with chains. He was so violent. He was so out of his mind that the authorities could not control this man. He was so wild, he could not live in civilized areas. He lived in a graveyard. Because that he had been often bound, verse 4, with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. A wild, a violent man. Verse 5, and always, day and night, he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. What a terrible condition. This is the devil's desire for you. If God did not put restrictions on him, this man in his misery lived in the graveyard every day, cutting himself with stones, crying out. At night in the mountains, they could hear his voice. In the tombs. Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Something in his mind saw Jesus as his only help. And he ran and worshiped him. But he was still under the control of the demon. And the Bible says, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now observe that verse very carefully. He said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? The devils know who Jesus is. He's the Son of the Most High God. Now listen to what the demon says. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, the evil spirits know that a day is coming when they will be destroyed. The Bible says in Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And Revelation 20 verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. The devil and his angels will one day be destroyed. Revelation 12:12 tells us, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So the devil and all the evil angels, whom the Bible calls demons or devils or evil spirits, they know a day is coming when they will be destroyed by Christ. They knew that that man that stepped out of the boat was the Son of God, even in human form. And so the demon said, don't hurt me. Now here's Christ. Here's the demon. And the demon says, I call upon you in the name of God. Don't hurt me. Who has the greater power? Come on, tell me. God. The devil will have you believe that his power over you is so great, there's nothing God can do. The devil will have you believe that the power of alcohol in your life is so great, there is no possibility of deliverance. The devil will have you believe that a life of drugs and cigarettes and immorality is so powerful God cannot deliver you. But the truth of the matter is that God has the power to deliver you from any form of satanic possession. And so the demon said, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. But when the man came to Jesus, Jesus realized he was possessed, and Jesus commanded the demon, come out of that man, thou unclean spirit. And he said, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Let me pause on this Legion word. In the days of Christ and before, the Roman army had a contingent of soldiers called a legion. Before the days of Christ, a legion was made up of 3,000 men. In the days of Christ, a legion was made up of 6,000 men. Now, the word legion did not always mean a precise mathematical number. It could simply mean many. So when the demon said, my name is Legion, he meant there are many of us in one man. Now, I'm showing you how evil the devil is. He sent a legion of demons to torment one man. The evil angels used to be holy angels. And whatever power they had as holy angels, they still have as evil angels. Ellen White writes, all should understand that Satan was once an exalted being. His rebellion shut him out of heaven, but did not destroy his powers or make him a beast. All the power Satan had before he sinned, he brought with him. All the power the evil angels had before they sinned, they brought with them. We are up against tremendous unseen powers, the evil spirits. Which means, I'm saying that to say this, Satan could have sent one demon to torment that man, and it would have been a hell of a life. Satan sent hundreds of demons into one man. The devil has no interest in your life other than to destroy you. And I'm saying, were it not for the restraining power of God, Satan would send hundreds of demons into every one of us. But there's a God who restrains the devil, because God has power that Satan cannot match. And so the demon answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we're many. The next verse says, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Here's a demon begging Christ, please, don't send us away from this country. We have many people in this country. Are there many demons in Pasay? I didn't mean the church. I meant Pasay, the city. Are there many demons in Makati? Malati? Are demons saying to God, don't send us from Pasay? We have so many people in Pasay. Send us, don't send us from Pasay. It's a fruitful hunting ground for us. The demon said, please do not send us out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Verse 13, and forthwith, immediately, the Bible says, Jesus gave them what? Leave. What is leave? Give me another word. Permission. May God continue to speak through me as I try to make this point clear. Satan needs God's permission. Now, God does not command Satan to do evil. He gives him permission. Permission is not command. Are you with me? Permission is not command. Ellen White writes, Last Day Events, page 243, paragraph 4. The same destructive power exercised by holy angels when God commands will be exercised by evil angels when God permits. Command is not permission. God commands the holy angels, he permits the evil angels. And so the Bible says in verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Now, what does that have to do with you and me? Jesus gave the devil permission to make whose life miserable? Think of the Old Testament. God gave the devil permission to destroy all a man's possessions. Job. Now let me make it clear, God did not command the devil to harass Job. He allowed. Because God said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thy hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And then God gave Satan permission, not command. Jesus gave them permission to enter into the swine. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now, 2,000 pigs, each one possessed by demons, meaning at least there were 2,000 demons in that man. In one man. You look at some people, and they will not give up the sins of their lives. They will not stop drinking. They will not stop violence. They will not stop crime. They will not stop drugs. It's as if they're possessed by 2,000 demons. There are some church members. They will not stop causing division. They will not stop causing trouble in the board. They will not stop fighting the pastor. They just cause destruction and confusion. It's as if they are possessed by 2,000 demons. But always in church. By the way, not every possessed person cuts himself with stones and lives in the tombs. Let me tell you something. There are some possessed people who are nicely dressed in suits. They have advanced degrees. They're well brought up. Very polished. In the book, The Great Controversy, page 509, Ellen White writes these words. Listen carefully. Many a man of cultured intellect and pleasant manners who would not stoop to what is commonly regarded as an immoral act is nothing more than a polished instrument in the hands of Satan. She's saying many people who are intelligent, educated, they are polished, they are cultured, they are smooth, they are polished instruments. It's so that Satan has two kinds of instruments, some polished, some rough. And so don't think because someone isn't falling on the ground and foaming at the mouth that that person is not an instrument of Satan. No, I'm not sending you to go hunting the church looking for... I'm not asking you to do that. I'm simply saying you have to look at your life. Am I possessed by the Spirit of God? Or am I possessed by the enemy? What is it that drives me to resist God, to oppose God, to fight the church? What spirit drives me to do that? The devils ask Christ for permission to enter the swine. The Bible says the instant the demons entered the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Devil's desire for you is death. His desire for every living thing is death. By the way, animals can be demon-possessed. Are you with me? Let me say something even more uncomfortable. Babies can be demon-possessed. So when you see that baby on the ground throwing a temper tantrum, you need to rebuke the enemy. No, this is no joke. The devil doesn't make special reservations for babies. The devil possesses any living human being he can. Babies can be possessed. And we ought to be able to detect. I was in a certain country, and I was asked to go meet some people in a rural area and pray for them. Myself, a couple elders, a couple of the church members, five or six of us, we went. And the people came out, a clearing under some trees. And this woman came with a baby in her arms. And all the members went and touched the baby. Hi, hi, the baby. Fine. Every time I approached the baby, the baby started to scream. So I backed off and the baby stopped screaming. Isaac, the baby screamed. And the others would go, no problem. And the mother put the baby down, well, a little child, and I watched the child turned and ran. Possessed. Could not stand in the presence of someone whom God uses to preach the word. That baby was possessed. And I told them, that child needs to be prayed over to drive the spirits out. I was in a same country on another occasion, and they brought a young lady to the pastor's office. Very attractive, maybe 16, very beautiful young lady. They said she was not right. And she came to the office, and as she came to the door, I came to the door. She looked at me. She turned around and ran. And I told the deacons, go get her. And the deacons ran behind and grabbed her. Possessed. And they had to hold her down. And they lifted her physically and took her into an upper room. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And the demons left her. That was a Friday night. Beautiful young lady, the next day, Sabbath, she came to church and they brought her to the office. They said, this is the young lady, I won't call her name. I didn't recognize her. With the enemy gone, her face had changed. And she was smiling, nicely dressed, because God, through His power and in His mercy, drove out the evil presence from that young lady. My brothers and sisters, the devil's desire for your life is to destroy it. But in the presence of Christ, the devil has to beg for mercy. Can you say amen? And so you and I need to have Christ on our side. Because He alone can deal with the enemy. And that demon said, don't send us away out of the country. The demon said, please send us into the pigs. The Bible says, forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. Now let me say this. There are two reasons why we are harassed. One, because of the choices we make against God. And two, God may be testing us. Now let me explain that. Job was harassed by the devil. He was not possessed. Let me say it again. Job was not possessed. If that's clear, say amen. Job was harassed. Job was bothered. Job was tried. Job was tempted. Job was tortured, not possessed. Because a child of God cannot be possessed. Somebody say amen. A child of God cannot be possessed, but a child of God can be bothered. And so God allows the devil to harass, to bother, and to test, and to try Job. On other occasions, the devil comes to people because of the sins we commit. You don't have to go to a graveyard and pray for the devil to come to you. The kind of music you have in your house, if it's the devil's music, it gives him a legal right to be in your house. I'm talking to myself. Am I talking to myself? It gives him a legal, and I use the word legal right. I may have told you last year, sin is an embassy of the devil. You have the devil's books in your house, Harry Potter. You have given the devil a legal right to enter your house and remain in your house. You're always on the internet watching pornography. You have given the devil a right, not only to your house, but to your mind. We give the devil permission. Come into me as I look at this internet site. Come into me as I listen to rock music and rap music and all the secular. Come into me as I read this romance novel or Harry Potter. Come into me. That's what we say. When we begin to get rid of these things, a few years ago, a mother came to me. My son is this and my son is that. He won't behave. He won't do that. He's out of control. And I asked her, what music does he listen to? Have you checked his CD collection or his whatever it is now people use, DVD collection, his Bluetooth collection? And she said, not really. I said, you check it. He lives in your house, so he has to obey you. Get rid of all his secular music, all his secular DVDs, his videos, his movies. Get rid of all that stuff. 3 weeks later, I heard from her. She said, my son is a different person. Because he had gotten rid, but unwillingly, nonetheless, he got rid of the things of the enemy. And with the removal of those things, the presence left. My brothers and sisters, the devil occupies places where he has a right. Jesus occupies the place where he has a right. And the right of Jesus is your acceptance of him into your life, and based on Calvary's sacrifice, when you accept Christ, Jesus comes and he occupies your life. He has the right because you've given him permission. When we engage in the things of the devil, we give him the right to possess our lives. He may possess our lives quietly. Our subject is the enemy. Our time is 9:10. My brothers and sisters, let me say it again at the risk of being repetitious. The thief cometh not, say it with me, but for to steal, come on, to kill and to destroy. When you have no time for the word of God, you are destroying your life. Because Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is life. Ellen White writes in Counsels on Sabbath School Work, page 43, paragraph 2. Study the word. Practice the word. It is your life. In the book Evangelism, page 138, paragraph 4, she writes, the word of God is our sanctification and righteousness because it is spiritual food. To study it is to eat the leaves of the tree of life. When your life is such, you have no time for God's word, you are allowing the enemy to destroy your life. You have no time for the church. You are too busy pursuing a career. You are destroying your life. Jesus said of the church, for a reason, church involvement is essential for spiritual growth. You can't stay home and go to church on the internet all the time when there's the possibility of attending a church. Let's not help the enemy to destroy us. And I'm calling upon you, my beloved brothers and sisters at Pasai, with whom I'm developing a love relationship. Do not allow the devil to destroy your life. That poor wretched man in Mark 5, he recognized Jesus as his only help. In his insanity, there must have been a spark of sanity left that allowed him to recognize Jesus. And he came. And Jesus delivered one man from 2,000 demons, at least. From what is Jesus ready to deliver you? Not returning a tithe? God can deliver you from that. Working on Sabbath? God can deliver you from that. Always trying to destroy the reputation of other members of the church? God can deliver you from that. Whatever it is, listen to me, or listen to God's word. God can deliver you. Because if He can deliver a man in a flash from 2,000 demons, one man, Christ can deliver you. Who needs deliverance this morning? Can I see your right hand? Who stand with me? Then I have a specific call to make. We're closing the sermon, The Enemy. Remember, always, the devil means no good for you, and Jesus means no harm for you. Are you with me? The devil means you no good, and Jesus means you no harm. Put differently, the devil wants to destroy your life. Jesus wants to bless your life. The devil wants you with him in hell. Jesus wants you with him in the kingdom. Listen to what Jesus says. Let not your heart be troubled. You know it. Say it with me. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now notice the pronouns. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It is you and Jesus. The devil wants you in hell. Christ wants you in heaven. What is your choice? Choose Christ. Choose a blessed life. Choose a place in the world to come. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, if I have preached badly, forgive me, dear God. If I was a little too hard on your people, I'm sorry. Sometimes in my excitement, Father, I get carried away. And I apologize to you if I've done that. Lord, I would love to see your people obey you. Live by your word. I want them to understand, dear God, that all you desire for them is their good. Even when you put them through trials, it is for their good. Help them to understand, dear God, that the devil's only desire for them is the destruction of their lives. Father, help us all to understand that the Jesus who delivered one man from 2,000 demons can deliver us from whatever it is that is ruining our lives. Now, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There's someone listening to me. There is an area of trial in your life. There's an area of weakness in your life. And you need special deliverance. There is an area of trial. There's an area where you need God to place His hand and deliver you from that thing. With it you've struggled. You know it's not good. You know it's destroying your life. And you need to be delivered from that thing. Whatever it is, come to the Jesus who delivered one man from 2,000 demons. If there's someone in need of that special deliverance, come. Come. I'm not calling all of you. There's someone, there's a man, there's a woman who is in the knot. The Gordian knot of a spiritual weakness, and you need the deliverance of Christ. Come, let's pray. come quickly. Anyone, you need a special deliverance this morning. Come. I don't even know what it is. God knows, and he has the power necessary to deliver you as verily as he delivered one man from 2,000 demons. Come. Come right up where I am. A special deliverance you need. No man knows it. You know it, and God knows it. Just come right up. Anyone, come. We'll pray. It didn't take Jesus 2 weeks to deliver that man from 2,000 demons. He did it like that. But the man wanted that deliverance, and you must want it. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You must hunger and thirst for deliverance. Isaiah 44 verse 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. If you're not thirsty, God pours nothing on you. Are you thirsty for deliverance from that area in your life where you know the devil has had control? Come. We'll ask the same Jesus who delivered one man from 2,000 demons to deliver us. Come quickly. My time is up. But this is life and death. Just come. God bless you. Come. Now believe that Christ can deliver you. The greatest way to insult God is not to believe him. How can you doubt a God that says, let there be light, and the light comes? It is by his word that Jesus delivered that man. He said, come out of the man, that unclean spirit. He delivered by his word in Matthew 8:16. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Let the word of Jesus Christ this morning deliver you. But receive that word without doubting. Doubt kills us. Doubt is a product of the devil. Faith is a product of God. That's why without faith, it is impossible to please God. Come and believe that God can deliver you. But desire that deliverance with all your heart and soul. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, I come to you today, God, to pray for your sons and your daughters who've answered the call. Each one represents a different area of torment and torture and suffering and possession by the enemy. Father in heaven, Jesus said in Luke 18:27, and Jesus could not lie, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The angel told Mary in Luke 1:37, and the angel was speaking for you, Father, with God nothing shall be impossible. Father, your words to Abraham in Genesis 8:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer to God is no. Well, look down, Father. Look with mercy on these men and women, boys and girls, who've answered the call. And as Jesus delivered one man from 2,000 demons by the word, Father, I present your word. Deliver your sons and your daughters, dear God, from whatever it is in their lives that represents the dwelling place of the enemy. Deliver them, Father. They've come to say, we require deliverance, we desire it, and we're trusting the word of God. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Deliver your people, dear God. The Bible says in Revelation 12:9, and the great serpent was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. As you cast him out then, cast him out now out of the lives of your people. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, your word that cannot lie says, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, destroy what the devil is doing in the lives of those who've answered the call. Destroy his work right where they stand. I do not command you, Father. I appeal to you, because you're not willing that any should perish. And anyone possessed by the devil will perish. So if you're not willing that any should perish, exercise your power, Father,
and deliver those for whom Jesus shed his blood, and help them to believe that that deliverance is taking place, as verily as you drove out 2,000 demons from one man. Now, Father, as they leave the altar, let them leave determined to hold on to your word, to live by your word, dear God, and provide no entrance for the enemy. In all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we think, in all that we plan, let us do it according to thus saith the Lord, for the devil has no power against thus saith the Lord. This prayer, Father, is also for the internet audience. Give us the sweet taste of victory, I pray, and bless us for the remainder of the day. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.